Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Kate Schreck, hello.
Hi, Kathy Love.
What's up?
Oh, well, I'm sitting here looking out the window at a beautiful sky and a beautiful tree and a whole heap of birds. So that's nice.
It is nice. It is nice. Enjoy that. Enjoy that.
What can you see?
Schreck, what can I see? I can see you. Let me introduce you because, you know, we're so casual around this stuff. I'm going to forget all the important bits that we need to talk about and we'll just have a catch up and people will just park their cars and weep. Kate Schreck, founding director of Lightbulb Training Solutions. Just tell us a little bit about what you get up to in a perhaps a non-pandemic year.
Yeah, well, in a non-pandemic year, I'm in the workplaces helping to inspire and encourage frontline staff as part of a bigger team to provide excellent service and kind of enjoy what they do. So we're a workplace training business and we specialise in customer service and teamwork and leadership skill training.
And in recent times, you're doing more and more work in schools.
Yeah, absolutely. We've actually launched a new business in September last year called Just for Schools. We focus on exactly the same content, but we've specialised into helping business managers in schools and the non-teaching staff. So we design and deliver training for non-teaching staff. So that's like your finance, your administrators, your receptionists, librarians, maintenance, everyone who doesn't teach, but they're vital in the school.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would be a good job to have in a school is to not be a teacher. I don't know how teachers do it. I just don't. But, you know, they kind of get all the hand cream and scented candles, yeah. But it's all of those other frontline team that really make it all tick and are a little forgotten, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's also like teachers, for them, professional development, you know, they need to do a certain amount per year to keep their hours up, a bit like your crew as well, to keep their quals and all of that in place, whereas the support staff don't have to, and they often get sort of left off the budget when it comes to, well, what do they need to be, you know, working together in harmony, providing great service. They get a lot of support when it comes to maybe there's a finance system they have to use. You know, they'll get training in that, or an enrolment system, you know, systems. But we come across in the world of people skills, and people skills is a big deal in workplaces, and now more than ever because of COVID, we're not even in the room together anymore. We're doing it virtually. So we've had to be flexible just like the rest of the world, and we put a lot of our work online as well, but we can't wait to get back into the schools, into the businesses.
You are just the queen of being in the middle of the room.
Oh, I love it. I love it in business, not in life.
No.
I'm a strange mix.
I don't know about that.
You know that.
What is just completely remarkable, really, is that you are a repeat offender on this podcast. So anyone who's fallen in love with you at the 7-minute mark can find several of your episodes in the podcast. So before we get into the topic that we said we'd talk about, which we might do at some point, I would love your reflections on COVID and customer service. What have you observed across the year? And let's give it a little allied health spin because that's why people are hopefully still listening.
Absolutely. Well, look, we do a lot of work with allied health. So Lightbulb Training Solutions isn't just the Kate Schreck show. I've got a team of people that help me design and deliver different training things, and we regularly catch up to get a feel for, you know, what's happening, how are people feeling. It's no different in the sense of if it's customer service, teamwork, leadership, everybody is feeling the need to take deep breaths. But I'm going to say surprising because we're so well versed with COVID and people's reactions now, but customers have actually been incredibly forgiving. So there's, other than where we thought initially, oh, the customers are going to hate this, you know, you have to change how we do what we do. We're not going to be able to sit with them and support them. We can only do it virtually. It's a first time in a long time, and I say a long time, I've been in a customer service role or managing it and training it since I was 15. It's the first time where I feel there's a real sense of synergy between the business and the customers. So because they actually do understand the challenge, rather than it being the customer imposing a change because it's good for the business is imposing a change and the customer knows this is good for them too. You know, it's got a health angle. It's got a, we are literally trying to do something that keeps them safe. So the uptake of online training or online communication has been so much easier than if we tried to have done it 12 months ago. So, yeah, there's a real synergy between what customers are, it's almost like their expectations are aligned now rather than being different. And, of course, there's challenges with that, you know, the change, the time it takes to change people's behaviours towards that and to you know how to use the new processes. But essentially when we're speaking to our customers, they're saying it's tough, but it's tough like we are literally, get ready for it, all in it together. So it's kind of nice. Doesn't mean it doesn't come with some real challenging times, not to, you know, say it's all pretty pictures and birds in the tree outside my window, but that's what we're all hearing. We're hearing it from the training point of view.
I almost need you to keep talking because I always learn something every time we speak, but I
usually it's going to make a nice cocktail though.
Yeah, it is. Just don't tell them that.
Sorry, that's right.
Yep. What I know is that that won't be edited out. I've never viewed it as this moment of synergy and that there is tolerance and expectation of change and that it kind of isn't smooth and easy for everyone. And in order for health services for themselves or their child or their relative to continue, that there is some necessary adaptions that are made.
Yeah.
You're just genius. You have won. What day is it? Wednesday. You've won Wednesday.
Oh, good. I'm a repeat offender and I've won Wednesday. I am kicking goals.
Yeah. I know. Any other COVID insights, COVID and customer service insights? I know you might not top that one, but what else have you observed?
Well, I would say, and this is more about let's start thinking into 2021, good time to do it, October. In fact, September would have been a better time to start. But there is a huge opportunity to absolutely delight your customers when the doors start to open because the absolute desire to be in the same physical space with somebody is going to be immense. And that is from the moment the doors open. And I know everyone's going to be excited and everybody's going to be, you know, like, whoa, we're open, come and see us. But just don't forget that there's an opportunity there to, even in that instance, seek to do just a little bit more. So, and that's only going to last for about 30 days. So reopening and then moving into the COVID normal, there'll be that 30-day kind of opportunity where you can do something, and it's always what service is about, is trying to do a little bit more than what's expected. So what's expected will be, you know, perhaps balloons at the reception desk and everyone's happy and we're all having a good time, but can you do one more thing that says welcome back? You know, just one more thing. Is it simply just to give everyone that comes in a different tea or a different coffee? Is it a small handout or something? Is it a gift of value that doesn't have to cost a lot, but is going to put you that one, even if it's just 1% ahead of competition, 1% more in the bank of service excellence? Because the more credits you put in there, when change happens and things go wrong, you've got something for your customers to draw on then. So get excited about it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. Everyone's going to be happy. We're still going to be cautious, But is there an opportunity for your business to go, you know what, I want you to feel not just excited that COVID has relaxed a bit, I want you to feel excited about coming back to us. I've seen some businesses have already got their masks ready to go as a handout gift with their branding on it.
They're branded, yeah.
Yeah. So they're lovely. I mean, it's, you know, it obviously there's constraints with finances across the board in this instance, but it can be cupcakes lined up as soon as they come in for their first visit. You know, it can be the let the staff, the one of the things I always encourage is ask your staff, what's the 1% we could do different when we open the doors and get the team involved? So rather than saying what's a thing we've noticed, it's what's a thing to get ready for as an opportunity to just go next level.
Yeah. Really wise advice for Melbourne, because we're recording this at the end of October, and Melbourne is just hanging out for a haircut, really.
Get the local hairdresser to come and set up a chair in your front office. Make up while you're
waiting. Yeah. And so our other states and territory cousins are a little ahead and have had some interesting experiences in the weeks ahead of us regarding demands and expectations and tension, as much as anything about appointments and so on and so forth. But I guess Melbourne have always looking for a bit of a silver lining for Melbourne, I've got to say. Melbourne can learn from what the other states, what their interstate business owner cousins have done by way of a staged approach and managing expectations and workflow, because it is a re-entry for everybody. It's a re-entry for business owners to be back on stage in public with their haircut. Let's just go on about haircuts, Kate. I think this is the haircut podcast. I know why you haven't got your webcam on. But it's also just this pace and change of a role and stage for therapists as well. So
And you mentioned there about tension. What's the tension the other states of, is it just about the unknown? Like, what's it going to be like?
Look, I can't speak for every state and every business owner. Sometimes I think I can't, but I do check myself from time to time. it's the tension is about, well, what's it going to look like and when are my appointments and this and that. Why not?
And
why can't it work? And, you know, why can't I have Tuesday 4 o'clock? Business owners are using the return also with a little bit of reinvention and repositioning as well,
which I think is good.
No, that's right. That's right. So I the word that comes to mind is calibration. It's just one of my all-time favourite words. But it is about settling and checking and noticing and correcting and then settling and noticing and adjusting and adjusting and then checking again, and then you just kind of calibrate again. So everyone's finding their way forward in public. I think we've got to re-socialise as much as anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Re-socialise for sure. Look, I'm out the other side of Melbourne, so we haven't been in stage four, regional Vic. You know, our 30-day window, so to speak, of reopening has gone because they've been open. Okay, so, yeah, I guess what I'm talking about earlier is very much directed at Melbourne coming out of a long, you know, lockdown without people actually being in the space. But I think that this year has given us an opportunity that if you want to change anything, now is a really good time to do it. So if you're looking at opening the doors up and thinking, oh, gosh, I wanted to do this and that, I would say go for it, particularly in the area of customer service, because your customers are quite used to change at the moment and difference. Mm. So it won't feel like this jolt of all of a sudden the business said, oh, we've changed this, we've changed that. We go, well, now this is our COVID normal. For our business, this is our COVID normal. So the conversation's already kind of out there and started. You don't have to present it as this brand new, where did this come from? This is like, no, this is our business COVID normal. So good opportunity to try new stuff.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm going to think about that one as well. Okay. So different people embrace and cope with and adjust to change in different ways. So we all have different styles of doing things. Mm-hmm. So you'll be picking up on my segue here, won't you, Kate? Because we're going to talk about what we said. Yeah, I need a bit more time to figure it out. So different people respond in the workplace differently. They manage relationships and change and challenge differently based on who they are and what their style is. So this is a segue into profiles and people's profiles. That's all I got. You're going to have to take it from there.
That's all right, because I could talk for days on this. So
yeah, I'm a bit worried about that.
Yeah, you're going to have to time limit me and corral me. But let me start by saying that what I want to talk about is a resource that not only changed my career, it changed my confidence, and I would not be running a couple of businesses now without it. Now, those of you who know Kate Shrek quite well, I am not very comfortable being decisive. So for me to say something that clear, that this is the impact this particular resource has had in my career, on my confidence and my ability to run my own business, is me telling you from my heart that this is the thing that made the difference. So what I'm talking about is behavioral profiling. And my first introduction to it was when I was 32 and I did what's called a Myers-Briggs assessment. Now, Myers-Briggs, is a personality type indicator. Those of you who are listening who have done it will be very familiar with it. If you haven't, just know that it is one of many psychometric assessments that helps us as individuals understand ourselves and our traits and behaviours, our personality, with some clarity so that we can have a look and go, oh, okay, that's why I enjoy this particular thing. That's why that job might be more suited to me. That's why I didn't get along with that particular person. So it's got a massive range of applications. So there's many on the market. So there's Myers-Briggs, there's Herman Brain, there's DISC, there's a whole range. So the one that I'm accredited in as a trainer and interpreter, or facilitator, they call it, an interpreter, is DISC Advanced. So this whole psychometric testing thing is, to me, just, I'm like a sponge. Once I got a hold of it at the age of 32, did a Myers-Briggs assessment and found out in Myers-Briggs you can be a combination of up to 16 different sort of personality types. That was my first introduction to it, and it really hit home to me because at the time I had been retrenched from banking for 17 years. I was 32, so I had been very much a banker for most of my career at that stage, and I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew for damn sure I was not going to stay in the bank because I hated it with a passion. Mm. So I had that real kind of momentum to find a new job that I would enjoy. So I was introduced to Myers-Briggs, I took the assessment, and I found out that it was really great. I got this list. On the left-hand side, the list said jobs that Kate would be suited to, and on the right-hand side, jobs that Kate should steer clear of. On the top of the list on the right-hand side, you got it, was anything to do with finance, banking, all those sorts of careers. And it was literally a light bulb moment. And the top of the other list was things like trainer, educator, I think priest was up there, so that was a bit of a left field.
Oh, I was about to say heaven help us, but that would have been just too funny.
So that to me, like, and it really was this massive light bulb moment. And I remember at the time thinking, why didn't I know this when I first started out in my career? Like, why didn't someone let me know that I've got this innate or natural style that leans me more positively towards some particular tasks, people, groups, situations, and another side of me that, and this is the key bit, that doesn't mean I can't do those other things, it just takes more energy. And that was amazing. So I went on the path then, and I actually ended up working in disability employment. So I chose a job that was going to recognize, reward, and allow me to grow my natural talents, which is being a helper, being an educator, being supportive, all of that. So as I said, it was a light bulb moment. So let's fast forward to now. And, of course, I run a business called Light Bulb Training Solutions purely off the back of these light bulb moments that I had from my career. And the first big one was having Myers-Briggs done. So once I moved into starting my own business, I thought, I want to be someone that can pass that knowledge on. But I looked into all the different types of assessments that I could become accredited in, and the one that spoke to me the most was DISC Advanced. And the reason being, Myers-Briggs is a personality type indicator, great to do for yourself and your own self-awareness. Whereas DISC I use, excuse me, the one I use is DISC Advanced, it looks at behaviour, not personality. So if you think about it, the easy way I describe it is, if I'm going to manage people, if I'm going to educate people, I cannot manage someone's personality. Their personality is their personality, but I can manage their behaviour. And that's why DISC to me really works, because it's a behavioural style profile, not a personality style. And also the combination of types you could be or styles is up to over 162. So whereas in Myers-Briggs, one in 16 chance I'll meet someone with the same Myers-Briggs type indicator as me. With DISC, it's up to 162, the blend of different styles. So it's much more specific to you as an individual. But also it's not a measurement against people. So it's an ipsative measurement tool. So what that means is when you do a DISC assessment, it's an ipsative assessment. It's giving you you have to answer the questions as in most likely and least likely. So it's not normative where you would say, you know, slightly, a little bit, a lot. It's ipsative. So you would be asked a question and you have to answer it. You most like this one or you most like that one. So it's another way of ipsative saying it is it's forced choice. So it's only measuring you against you. It's not saying Kathy does an assessment, Kate does an assessment, and we're going to look at them compared, because it's not about good or bad, right or wrong, anything like that. It's about your choices and getting you results related to your responses. So DISC is the thing that, you know, getting back to our workplaces, it's for me, first of all, I did it to go job hunting. So it was Myers-Briggs that got me on the path. Then I became an accredited assessor and now I use it in my business and we use it. There's so many applications for DISC, but I also find, and this is quite consistent and my other trainers say the same thing, when we go into workplaces that we haven't interacted with before and we say, what sort of profiling tools have you used or have you used any? There's usually three responses. The first one is never heard of it. So that's good. We can start with a clean slate and introduce them to human behavioural profiles. The second one is, yeah, did that, waste of time, can't remember where my report is, it's up on the shelf. It just had no bearing because it wasn't given to them in a way of saying how to use it post getting your actual assessment. Like they got their assessment, they did it, and then just kind of forgot about it. And the third one is very much along the lines of I get it, but nobody else gets it. Like I've got it and someone else has it. Like it's a mixed kind of bag. So we have to go in and really work with the team then to reintroduce it really. So like me, there's people in workplaces that love it. They're a sponge and they just want more, 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 more. And then there's others. And we know the styles that lean this way. There are others that will go, nah, there's nothing in this for me. And like everything, if you don't identify what's in it for them, no one's going to do anything with it. So this chat that we were going to have today was for me to give you an idea of just how much difference it can make to your business, to you as a leader, to your team, and, of course, my area of specialty, to your customers. So I'll stop now and take a breath.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Any questions at this point or where would you like me to head with this DISC discovery?
Oh, good. I've sorted my emails. I forward booked my calendar. I've just checked Facebook.
I hope people haven't driven off the road or walked into a tree.
I tell you what I did do. Like, this is my third learning from you in like 40 minutes, Miss Kate. Mm-hmm. I looked up the word ipsative, and it's a real word. It's a psychology word. So I was listening, but I was Googling as well, of the self, and then it's got sometimes called a forced choice scale. Yeah. So there you are. You're legit.
Yeah, I'm legit. Yeah, so a lot of people say when they get their assessment done, they're like, oh, this is bogus and how can it know? And it's like, well, you've actually answered the question yourself because you answered the questions yourself. And it's been around since, the actual assessment itself, so being able to do a assessment has been around since the 1950s, but the human behavioural theories was 460 BC, back in the old Hippocrates, Socrates and Oleocrates, I call them, all those Greeks. The dudes that did all the work. Yeah, just the other day. So, yeah, the theory's not new. The assessment tool, that's the thing that came out in the 50s, so that we don't have to sit in a room with someone and interact with them to work out what their natural style might be of the four styles. And we always start with just talking about the four as independent styles, but keeping in mind most people are a blend of two or three. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's have a bit of a dance around the D, the I, the S, the C, and then go into how it's actually helpful in building a team.
Yeah. So, of course, if you've never heard of it and you're listening.
I'll be back. I'll be back in 20 minutes. Just go for it.
Yeah. Yep. If you've never heard of DISC, so DISC is an acronym that stands for the four human behaviours, D, I, S, and C. So if you want to think of what are the differences between the four, the first thing we look at is they're about speed and focus. So our D style and our I style, their speed is fast-paced. Our S style and our C style are slower paced. So straight away, if you can sort of envisage a box with four quarters, the top right-hand corner is a D, bottom right is an I, bottom left is an S, and top left is a C. So your two on the right, the D and the I, are fast-paced, and the two on the left, the C and the S, are slower-paced. Now, if you split the box in half and look at it as more of a vertical look, then you would have people at the top being the D and the C, and they are task-focused. And you look down the bottom, our I's and S's are people-focused. So at its sort of purest, easiest form, you could very quickly start to work out if I'm interacting with a D or I style person, are they talking fast? Are they making quick decisions? Are they moving from thing to thing really quickly? And you go, okay, I think I might be interacting with a D or an I here. Now, how am I going to work out if they're the D or the I? Well, the Ds will be giving the orders and the I's will be making sure that everyone's happy. So the D style is moving things along, task focused, and the I style is all about keeping the people on board and keeping them inspired. So there's lots of ways. I don't want to go too deep because if you can't see it, it's hard to visualize it. But yeah, if you just think of speed and focus, so our C's and S's will talk slower. They'll ask questions because they want information. The C's will want factual information. The S's will want to make sure the people are supported. So those are the very sort of clear indicators, but it's obviously much deeper than that. So let's talk about it from a leader's perspective. The first place we say you start with is get to know yourself before you start to impart any of your knowledge, so to speak, to your team. So working out your own report is the first step. The second step would be you get your team reports done and then we can have a look at it and go, okay, you seem to have a team pretty high stacked with S's, which we find a lot in allied health. S stands for supportive. So it's natural that people who want to help people with an S style as their natural style are kind of drawn towards allied health positions. We see them a lot in schools as well. In the support staff in schools, you know, that S really comes through. We see it particularly in hospitals, a lot of nurses are S. So one of the key things with DISC is that we always, always say never, never say always. So there is no all nurses are S and all, you know, accountants are C. It's a blend, it's a mix, and it's a never say never, never say always. So understanding what your style is then helps you understand how to lead or manage your team, because you will know where your strength sits and you will know where you might have to adjust your style to get the best out of people in your team who don't share your style. So the easiest way I can sort of explain it is that often in recruitment, people trip up. So if you're recruiting for a position and you're interviewing someone, often we go on gut feeling, and that gut feeling is generally, I like that person, they're like me. So it's like, oh, we got along, it was really good. And it's like, well, that's a nice thing, but if you hire five people like you, four of them are redundant. So It's about getting a mix in the team.
Hire a clone.
No. And look, if they've got different hard skills to you, which are the tech skills, that's great. But if you're missing out on that vital piece of the puzzle, which is communicating with your customers, and they're all just like you and you happen to be a high D who is very task-focused and very direct and not very good with time and patience, then the customers who are not a high D are not going to enjoy your business if you've got five high D staff who are not self-aware and don't know that their behaviour could be having a negative impact when it comes to customer service. So it's a really big, deep conversation that it starts with knowing yourself, and then we can have a look at your team. And from then on, it's about using the report for many different applications. As I said before, it can be used for recruitment. It's a help. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's great for self-awareness. It's great for stress reduction. So we can almost, let's just say in a beautiful world, everyone had a DISC report done before COVID started. So you're listening now, you're a business owner, and everyone in your team had a DISC report done, and all of a sudden, oh, my God, we're going into lockdown. You could pull out those DISC reports and you could predict how this would stress different people in your team based on their style. So how powerful is that to know that I could have just grabbed some reports, had a look, had a conversation with an interpreter like Kate or Belinda or Brad or any of our team and gone, how's this going to impact Susie, who's a high C? How's this going to impact Claire? She's a blend of D and I. What's this going to be like for Kathy, who, you know, she's a D as well, but she's got some I? And what's this isolation going to do to Kathy? And then what's it going to do to Kate Schreck? I mean, she's an introvert, will sit in the corner all day and read a book. So having the report is what we always say, they're great conversation starters. They come from a place of black and white on the paper, but the person you're talking to can agree with it, disagree with it, whatever. You can actually have the conversation rather than just wait for the change to happen and the stress to happen, and then you're managing stressed people rather than managing what we predict might be stress and putting some measures in place to make it more comfortable for them where possible. So I told you at the beginning, I love this. I love it.
I was just about to take a breath, but I didn't need to.
No,
interesting about the styles and anticipating people's responsivity to COVID. What have you observed about dominance, influence, steadiness, compliance, those styles? What have you noticed play out in adapting?
Very clearly, the Ds will be pushing forward their thoughts and opinions because that's what they do. Okay, so you'll find the vocal voice is the leader of the pack. They could be the leader of the Facebook charge. They could be the leader. You know, they're very comfortable, and in fact, that's their strength in putting forward their thoughts, ideas, and opinions, because that is their strength, and it is a wonderful strength. So that's what we see. We see people stand up and go, no, this is, I don't think this is right. They will push back against anything they think that is not right. Our I styles are really, our I's and S's, as you can understand, they're people focused. So they are feeling this, not just for themselves, but for the community. So the S's are worried about everyone, not just their family and their friends. They take a worldview. You know, they're really concerned about what's going on in the UK. Our eyes are more concerned usually about their own circle and their own need for interaction. So they're really missing out on down the pub for drinks. They're missing out on team meetings. They're really missing that. So their energy is gained from the external environment. So that's their stress. The S's energy is gained from making sure everyone's okay. So all of this has been quite a challenge. Our C styles are looking for the facts. So they're reading up the World Health Organization every time. They're double checking. Like the D's, they'll put forward their thoughts, but it'll be based on fact, not on their opinion. So they go with facts. I mean, I think it's probably for those of you who are listening who you may, I'm trying to use people that you may know in the media, but we've seen Gladys Berejiklian, we've seen Dan Andrews, you know, we've seen our politicians have to stand up now, and we're seeing the way that they're leading is through trying to be equally supportive and factual. And there's not a lot of the excuse me for saying it, but the Donald Trump dominance of just saying my opinion, and my opinion is the thing that counts. So, yeah, it's an interesting, I can't watch anyone on TV anymore since I did this behavioral profiling without, you know, I watch a Friends episode and I've got them all characterised. I watch Survivor. I watch the cooking shows.
Stop. We don't want to hear any more.
I can't switch it off, but it's so valuable. And I guess I want to make sure that people are clear that are listening also. I'm not saying any style is good or bad. They're not right or wrong. They're different.
Yeah.
All have strengths. Yeah.
When I did the test, it was online and it didn't take very long. And like literally the next day or the day after, this was part of a full different business program. I got this really cool report that I'm got in front of me because I was crawling around on the floor looking for it before we clicked in. So the process of getting the results is efficient, but it's also interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as I said, I use the reporting mechanism or the reporting of DISC Advance. So it is very easy. It's very easy. And unfortunately, that's been a bit of a brick wall when we go into businesses because, yeah, a lot of people have done it online and they think they've done it fully. They haven't. They've done the assessment. They've got the report, full stop. And I use an example of saying, well, that's like going to your GP and you've got a sore arm and the GP says, go and get an x-ray done. So you go and get your x-ray done and the x-rayologist gives you the x-ray and you take it home and you read it. And that's what it's like getting
good
an
luck
online,
with that.
Yeah, getting an online assessment done. If you do it online and then it drops into your inbox and you're left to read it, sure, unlike the x-ray, it has got written words, but there's a language in psychometrics that's a little bit different to our everyday to-day language. Like, for instance, the word shy in psychometrics doesn't mean timid. It means shy away from, so remove yourself from situations. Yeah, so there's a few little things to look out for, but also if you just read your report, you very quickly as a human, particularly if you're a D or an I style, because you go quickly into it, you'll only pick out a few things and then you won't read the detail. So you're missing quite a lot of the information. If you're a high C, you will read the detail so much and have questions and have nobody to answer them. So I sit in the position of, I'm not a psychometrician. I didn't create the style reports or anything or the theory. I'm an interpreter. So I can read your report and there'll be graphs and pictures and words, but I can read it and answer all your questions based on why did you get the report done in the first place? Like, what's your intent? Because the report can be used for so many applications. So if you, like me, initially wanted a report so that I could work out what job I want to do, if I did it again with the intent and looked at it again with the intent of I'm having conflict with a coworker, there's a different way to pull out the results so that you can assess them and then make a plan of, okay, well, what can I do to adjust, change, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, the email that I would send out is simply a link. You click on it and we say it shouldn't take more than 10 minutes because if it does, you've overthought it and you're trying to influence the results. So that's it. And then it comes to me. I get the report. It's generated to me. And I don't issue the report until I meet you. And at the moment, obviously, that's via Zoom. So I don't let the reports out of my hands until I've looked at them, I've assessed them, and I've made sure that the person I'm about to give them to understands the model and the theory. Because if I give them reports straight up, they'll gloss over it, they'll get lost in it, and they won't hear the key things that we need them to understand before they read the report. Yeah, and our reports are 42 pages long, just to give you an idea. So it's not just a one-pager. There's a lot of information in there.
Mine's only 15. And you know what, Kate? I having a light bulb moment.
Dollar. You owe me a dollar.
That's all right. I probably owe you way more than that. I never did the debrief bit on it.
Yeah.
I've never even spoken with you about it.
Yeah. So,
all right, post-COVID, you're on.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, you know, like there's people like your good self who I know have a good understanding of it and we're like, okay, here it is, have a look. There's others where they've not even understood what DISC is. There's others in workplaces where the bosses said, can you do this assessment? They go online and do it and they don't even know what they're doing it for. And the boss just wants all the reports. So there's a whole range of reasons to do it, and there really is a way to make sure you introduce it, particularly if we're going to do it for a team. So we don't usually have a team more than 12 people in the room at a time, and that's a three-hour session, you know, to give everybody an opportunity to ask questions relevant to them and to build a dynamic of this is not a secret, this is nothing wrong with your report. We want the team to understand how is it best to communicate with you? What do you like? What don't you like? It's a resource that we say doesn't work if you don't wrap it in empathy. It's really got to go at it with an intent of, or whatever your intent is. If you just want it for yourself, for your leadership skills, then that's your intent. But if you want it for the team and it's to build and embrace a better team culture, then wrap it up in empathy, and there's a way for us to deliver the information so no one leaves feeling attacked or pigeonholed or any of those horrible things that I know I have heard have happened. Yeah.
So business owners should be exploring this as part of their recruitment strategy to sort of unpack some of that gut feeling. But then on the inside of the business, it could be super helpful for performance development planning, for getting the, what is that thing about the bus, the right people in the right seat on the right bus for the right reason?
Yeah,
that bus story. So getting people kind of in flow, but also understanding their edges and their interactions with others as well. So it's cool.
It is cool. It's I'll keep saying it just because it's really important. It's not the be all and end all, but I like to think of it as, you know, if you're going to have someone on your team, wouldn't it be good to have their user manual? So that you could, you know, kind of have an insight into what motivates them, what might stress them. It's not everything, and we look at the reports with a kind of a macro view of saying it'll be around 80% correct, because no psychometric assessment can account for someone's learned skills. So to bring that into context, I don't have, when I had my profile first done as a DISC profile, I don't have any D style as a strength. It doesn't mean I can't do it, but it never shows up on my profiles as a strength. So I'm not naturally dominant, decisive, fast-paced or task-focused. It doesn't mean I can't do it. It just means the others outweighed it. So when you look at
You can have some of my D, Kate.
That's why
can
I'm
I share some of my
you.
D with you?
You are the perfect person for me to partner with or to do things with, because I see the strengths you have that I don't. So, and I often surround myself with people who have high Ds and high I behavioral styles, because in business particularly, or in my team, because that they've got that strength naturally. For me, it takes energy. Doesn't mean I can't do it. It just takes me energy.
Has a cost.
Yeah, it has a bit of a cost. So I make sure there's red wine at the end of a D style day. You know, I have to build in the rewards.
All right. Message received.
Message received. And by no accident, but my team, we're all different styles. Like, I work with trainers and we're all different styles for a reason. Now, that's conflict if the people don't know that they have different styles, and it's power when you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that is the quote for the episode.
Oh, thank you,
Kate,
so much.
You nailed it. You nailed it. Now, we've only got a few minutes left because we, you know, being the D, I'm just going to be task focused.
You're moving it along, aren't you?
Let me sprinkle you with some D, and I just want to soak up some of your profile as well. Forgot what I was going to say. I was going to give you the chance to explain how you help business owners do this, because you've changed the way that you can offer this, haven't you? Or did I just make that up?
No, you didn't. Well, COVID, not only did it change the way, it made it mandatory that this is the only way we can do this at the moment.
Forced
choice, ipsity, oh, look out. So basically we're doing it online, and it's through some heavy discussions and some fun talks with my trainers that we thought we need to get this online, and also we need to bring it with an element of fun, because it needs to have, and when I say fun, not silly, fun as in light, not deep and
as in
heavy.
Play, as in
yeah,
play.
Good. And let's play with this. Yeah. So we developed a new product called a disco, and our disco.
Of course, you did.
Of course we did. There's a fun disco. It stands for Disc Online. So every month, starting in December 2020, we're going to have online discos or online disc sessions, which is called a disco. And it's a three-hour session with a maximum of 8 people. And you simply go onto our website, lightbulbtrainingsolutions.com.au, and there will be a link there for you to book in. And it's for you to have your individual assessment done. Okay, so it's you will then obviously be on with 7 strangers, possibly. There's great value in that because it's a really fun atmosphere.
Safe.
It's safe in that sense. If this is your first step into DISC, you may want to bring along a co-worker and 2 against 6 others, whatever you want to do, that's fine. So we're pricing this at per person. You come along, it's 3 hours. So the process is to you click in, you book in, there's 1 a month. If we get a wait list for it, we might open another one up in a month, in the same month. You will then get an email from me with a link for you to complete your online assessment, which takes 10 minutes. And then you come along on the day and with 7 other people, we will go through the history of DISC. We will talk about its strengths, its values, all of those things. Then we have a cuppa. And then when you come back, I will issue you with your report and we will be sharing as a group. As a team, and having a really good chat about what's this mean, and I'll help interpret your report. So they're 3-hour sessions, 8 people maximum, 1 a month. So there's a disco a month happening, and it gives everybody the chance. Also, after the session, part of it is that you can have a 30-minute chat with me privately. So if anyone after that 3 hours, and most people after 3 hours have pretty much got enough, they just need to go away and let it sink in. And the alternative to that is, of course, if you want to have a disco for your team, then you just reach out to us and we'll do an online disco for your team with up to 12 people. So that would be then very customised to what you want disc for and why you want it in your workplace. So disco for individuals or discos for your team, all available online.
I've had 2 thoughts in a row.
No, stop it. You need to sleep.
2 thoughts. I know. It's getting late. 2 thoughts. The first thought was I would love to do this and I might just scare you senseless one day and turn up in one. And my second thought, once I got out of my own way, was this this would be amazing for new graduates entering the marketplace.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yeah. Thank me later, Miss Kate.
Thank you, of course, particularly because I know I hear this pain point from a lot of allied health is that they come with a bucket full of hard skills and really not a tiny purse full of people skills. And this is what this is. It's people skills in the workplace wrapped in empathy.
But given that one of its main functions is self-awareness and where your edges and genius flow is, I think it could be really cool for those entering the profession for the first time to have that knowledge to bring to an interview situation as well, because it really means they're prepared and showing up.
Absolutely. We've got a fantastic connection with the recruitment. One of my trainers is actually a HR professional, but we have a connection with a great business that actually works in the side of, you know, obviously recruitment. And she very much gets people to do their DISC report when they're going for a job so they can walk in and say, hey, well, this is my natural style and this is what I've done to increase my strengths in other areas. Yeah, it's like we said, it's got so many applications. But, yes, that could be a fabulous a win, not just for those that want to get the job but for the business that wants to employ them. You've just reminded me too, the other service that we can offer that I think is really helpful, I know it's very helpful, is job profiling. So Brad or Belinda can look at your position description and actually work out what's the best profile for the vacancy. So before you even advertise, you've got an idea, okay, this
you'd
particular...
be writing it towards.
Yeah. So, well, not so much, like have the discussion with Brad or Belinda and say, well, look, this is the position we've got. I'll speak from my area of expertise. It's a receptionist at the front desk. They're greeting people. They're doing data entry. We need them to also keep the area clean and tidy. We want them to do the social media, and we want them to do some billing and follow-up calls. So we go, rightio, that's a real range of things. So the job profile fit would be running across the DIS&C to work out what's the blend, like what is the style blend that would match this particular position. And then when you advertise, you can ask those that you shortlist to your top five to do a DISC assessment. In recruitment, it's not mandatory that they get the results. We say give the person who gets the job the results. So you can just say, as part of the recruitment process, we'd like a DISC assessment completed. What you've then got when you're ready to interview is a little insight and also a whole heap of questions you can ask during the interview based on their DISC assessment. So not to confuse, but yeah, if you a perfect scenario, you get your position profiled and then look at finding someone who matches. Yeah. And you may say, I actually don't want somebody that is perfect as a DISC match. I want someone who is going to be challenged and is going to want to, improve their behaviours in different areas. So there's different ways to look at it. But it's a resource, it's a tool, it's not the be-all and end-all, but it makes life a lot easier. And it makes, as I said for myself, for me, it was all about confidence. There's no way I would be running businesses now if I wasn't self-aware, and not just around my behavioural style, but just in general, what it is that I know people will find a little off-putting from me, and I know also what people will find is a strength. So I have to work it.
Work the DISC.
I'm going to work my DISCs.
Work the DISC. All righty. How about you just kind of shout out one more time your website? We'll put it in the show notes, but so many people listen and don't get as far as the show notes. Bend their ears.
Getting to the show notes, people, it's www.lightbulbtraining.com.au. And for those of you that would like to attend a disco, as I said, we're going to have them every month, one a month starting in December. If you reach out to us or book into that and say, I heard about this during the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast, there will be a little discount. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to do that.
Yeah, that's so very cool. Your wonderful listeners, we will put a little triple P discount in to come along and have your assessment completed.
Wow, that's a lovely surprise. Thank you.
Oh, your guys deserve it. You do personally, Kathy. You're wonderful. There you go. There's your D-style pat on the back. But everyone who's listening is doing wonderful work in particularly challenging times. So. I've met so many of your team. They're fantastic. They reach out to me. They are just brilliant. So I'm more than happy. We want to keep helping them help others.
Beautiful. Thank you. And who knows what we'll be talking on here about next time we're together. So thanks,
Kathy. Who knows? Pleasure. Thanks, Kathy.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues. The Private Practice Made Perfect podcast is brought to you by Experts on Air Podcast Network.